This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
Good afternoon. A massive weekend of football, highlighted, of course, by one of the big questions. There was some great football itself before I get to the news. I guess the big question out of the weekend is who's the team now most likely to be a contender against Melbourne? You could argue it was Brisbane on the back of their convincing performance against the Swans in Sydney last night. They can score heavily, the Lions. They only scored one goal to quarter time, then 16 goals in the remaining three quarters with 10 individual goal scorers. And Joe Danaher, one of those, was basically injured for at least half the game. Scott Pendlebury spoke to Triple M this morning and thinks that Fremantle, after their defeat of Geelong, is the team most likely to contend at this stage against Melbourne or indeed beat them. So it's a great discussion point. Such an exciting season. Lots of news to discuss today. Off the top, I want to discuss the Bombers. They've been a point of discussion already this season. It amplified yesterday because they're 1-6. Their finals chances, which I'll get to, basically look over, courtesy yesterday of a 32-point defeat against the Bulldogs. This was Truck, Ben Rutten, briefly post-game.
I think it's been stages throughout this year. We've shown a different, a more consistent level, but we're just struggling at the moment to be able to find that consistency. So frustration's probably the overwhelming kind of feeling at the moment.
Now, there's lots of discussion points surrounding the Bombers. There will be this week. I'll try and break them down just for some insight in terms of the atmosphere, if you like, in the rooms last night. I did speak to at least one senior Bombers official who was frustrated, like Ben Rutten, echoing his sentiments because their potential, in this official's view, was a lot greater than the way they're playing at the moment. The sideways kicking, the short kicking, some of the handballing backwards, that was clearly a point of frustration. An interesting narrative this season has been the Bombers and their finals prospects. The Bombers were very honest to senior journalists at the start of the year, senior officials at Essendon telling some journalists, including myself, look, they were a little bit reserved about their final chances based on a low number of wins that got them into the eight last year by historical standards. They'd only beaten one of the top eight sides last year once. So against the top sides, the top eight sides in particular, the Bombers know their record has been a little bit patchy, to say the least. I spoke to Zach Merritt, who was good enough to speak to me post-game, and did ask him, in his view, what their chances of making finals are now.
Think you could make the finals? That's just not the focus at the minute. You've just got to get yourself back into form.
Yeah, I never thought of that, to be honest. When you're 1-6, you're obviously a long way off the finals contention. So for us, it's just trying to build a sustainable brand, which isn't that at the moment. So we'll get back to work Monday and try and get back up on Sunday or Saturday next week.
Just regarding Ben Rutten, Bombers insiders tell me, and there's strong alignment at the club. The club itself is going well. I just want to emphasise that. Obviously, off-field, on-field, they've got some struggles at the moment. But Rutten's clearly trying to raise standards at the club. They haven't won a final since 2004, so he's certainly entitled to do that. One decision that is causing a little bit of, I wouldn't say controversy behind the scenes, but certainly discussion amongst Essendon identities, is the handling of Dylan Shield being dropped last week. He ended up playing as the medical sub. Was it the right game to drop him? He had 26 touches the week before against the Magpies. Ben Rutten clearly wants him to show at least a little bit more defensively. That's the strong word I get. That'll be a discussion point this week in terms of how Shield has been handled. That will other clubs look at Shield? Well, they will if Essendon want to trade him at the end of the year. It's too early to discuss that at the moment. But I know there's a view amongst at least one prominent club I've spoken to that Shield, at least offensively, is a good player. So if the Bombers wanted to pay some of his salary at the end of the year and give him up for a second-round pick, I'm sure there'd be clubs that would potentially be interested, but it's too early to discuss that at the moment, apart from the fact that I can report that some clubs, at least one prominent one, is keeping a close eye on the Dylan Shield situation, because we know at his best he's a particularly good player. Just finally on Essendon, I don't want to labour the point too much this week because I'm interested in seeing how they go against Hawthorn last weekend, but they've only really lost so far this year to good sides, or sides that we sort of expected might beat them. I guess Collingwood might have been the exception, but again, Collingwood's form is holding up. So Geelong, Brisbane, Melbourne, we expected those. They beat Adelaide, Essendon. They lost to Frio, who we know now is a potential premiership contender, potential one, certainly a contender for the top four. Collingwood, their form's holding up, as I mentioned, and the Bulldogs. So the Bombers have had a horror draw. They've also got a young list demographic, but clearly, whilst they didn't expect they'd necessarily make finals, I don't think anyone expected them to be 1-6. That'll be a big discussion point this week.
This is Tom Brown's news, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Here at first on Listener.
The Saints have been exciting. Brett Ratten heading towards a contract extension, but they wasted an opportunity up in Cairns on Saturday night. Port, who are a bit better, it must be said, beat St Kilda by a point in greasy, wet conditions. It had been raining all day. It gets particularly dewy up there at night. There's big debate now whether St Kilda, in the interests of money, have potentially traded away or dealt away their finals chances. Look, they get $650,000 plus for the Cairns game. St Kilda, when they did that deal, have $9 million plus. They still do have $9 million plus worth of debt. I know St Kilda will review that arrangement. They review it on a year-by-year basis, senior St Kilda officials tell me. Look, I don't think the scheduling helped them, in all fairness. It was dewy and wet up there. It had been a wet day. I don't think the night match helps up there in Cairns. I know the AFL is certainly supportive of the fixture in terms of getting the community of Cairns, who are big football supporters and lovers, you know, involved in the home and away season. I didn't think, frankly, the lighting helped either. I watched the telecast and, look, it's no one's fault, but you could clearly see that, I guess, the lighting, you know, vis-a-vis the bigger stadiums was a little bit off. But just in terms of St Kilda, they'll review that deal. It is highly profitable, but could ultimately cost them a final spot. Depends how you look at it. They were particularly inaccurate also, King and Jack Higgins, on Saturday night.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was fortunate enough to speak to Bulldog superstar Marcus Bontempelli post their win yesterday. It's always a pleasure speaking to Bont. He has been playing sore. He had his foot and ankle, his left one, heavily iced. You might have seen the vision on 7 News last night, heavily iced after the game. I know that's common, but this was particularly heavier than most players, Corkies and the like. He told me that he's been playing sore, but of course he makes no excuses regarding that. He says it hasn't hampered the way he's been playing. There's been some discussion about why the Bont's playing forward. Luke Beveridge alluded to this story in one of his recent press conferences, but the crux of it is the Bont apparently went to Bevo and said, look, I think I can have an impact up forward. We've got a young forward line. And I think that's where I can spend some more time during games. And he explained that decision at length to me last night.
Been a bit sore at times. I think, you know, throughout your career that there's going to be some seasons where you've got to work through a little bit more than others. But I feel like when I'm out there, I've got the full sort of complement of what I'm able to do. You just got to work through a bit more pain at times. So you just want to give those young blokes the best chance you can. So it's a tough game to play forward. You know, you got to make the most of your chances when they're there. And I thought I could add a little bit. So we'll just see how it goes each week.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's News.
I expect there could be some big injury news this afternoon. I know Brisbane are sweating on scans to Joe Danaher. He was subbed out, their superstar forward, just before halftime yesterday in Sydney. He's back in Brisbane. He hasn't come to specialists yet in Melbourne. He's currently having scans on that shoulder. Clearly the concern there would be a Kruger-type situation. It's to Nathan Kruger, that is, from Collingwood. When they keep coming out, those shoulders, you can obviously sometimes require surgery. That can, in some instances, be season-ending. It's too early to say Danaher's situation at the moment, other than the fact that he's having scans, and it was already heavily strapped. So clearly there's a big concern there from Brisbane's perspective. Prestia, Dion Prestia, he had Achilles concerns from Friday night. We might learn more from Richmond this afternoon on a more positive front regarding injuries. I expect that Patrick Dangerfield will be back for the Cats this week. They need Danger, it looks like, based on their loss to Fremantle. I also think they're still missing Sam Menegola, who gives them a lot of run off the wing and makes good decisions. He's had a bit of a knee setback after his concussion, but I'll keep an eye on that and perhaps give an update on Sam for our podcast on Thursday.
This is Tom Brown's News, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Hear it first on Listener.
And just three brief ones to finish off with. I know there's some club frustration regarding the use currently of the medical sub-rule. I don't think clubs are breaching the rule, but the issue at the moment is that some clubs are sticking to the letter of the law and taking a conservative approach. Others taking, other clubs taking a more liberal approach to the application of the rules. Again, working within the AFL framework. I think there's certainly pressure on the AFL to come out and clarify that rule. Hopefully they do today or tomorrow. Brad Scott, I'm working on that story. We'll have more on that story on Thursday. West Coast, 109-point demolition. They got absolutely annihilated against Richmond. It was embarrassing for such a proud club on Friday night football. Look, they've got one of the best CEOs in Trevor Nisbet, one of the best boards. West Coast don't put up with those types of performances. They're firmly behind Adam Simpson, but I do understand this has already started, and I think the West Australian newspaper alluded to this a couple of weeks ago, Mark Duffield. I do understand there will be some list management changes towards the end of the year. in terms of their list management and football department. I think there's a view at the club they need to make some changes there, and they will. Clearly, the Tim Kelly trade, and I know Jay Clark's spoken about on Triple M before, Tim Kelly trade is having a big bearing on the club. They effectively gave up one. On one view, you could say it was effectively three first-round selections. It was certainly two first-round selections and two key second-round selections. So that's a big discussion point surrounding West Coast and what they do now. But they're sticking behind Simpson, and I think they'll make some list management changes in that department going forward. And just finally, a video that went a bit viral on Friday night on the 7 AFL site was a debate I did with Hodgie. I don't like talking about myself in terms of bringing up that segment, but it had over 100,000 views. Just to clarify, for the avoidance of doubt, the discussion was meant to be about how North didn't, in my view, deserve a priority pick. I don't think the draft should be compromised at all by priority picks. I just mentioned Essendon, perhaps mischievously, and I'm not a very good actor, clearly, in the context of, look, how do you apply the formula? Where do you draw the line? There's so much ambiguity surrounding the use and application and how the priority pick should be applied. They haven't won a final since 2004. That was my point. So where do you draw the line? I don't believe, clearly Essendon won't get a priority pick. Clearly Essendon don't deserve a priority pick based on their recent finals performances, and you know, they've been around the mark in terms of the top eight. The discussion was around the fact that North don't deserve one, and just by way of example, it's such an arbitrary formula that we seem to cook up with priority picks. You know, you could argue Essendon deserve one. The humour didn't obviously go down too well because I had 105,000 people potting me on Twitter. But anyway, I just thought I'd address that at the conclusion of the podcast today. Have a magnificent week. I'll be back on Thursday. It's going to be a big news week. Thanks so much for joining my podcast this afternoon. Triple M rocks football.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more, and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.